WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. A Fulton County judge heard oral arguments in the Georgia racketeering election interference case involving former President Trump and 18 other defendants. Two ex-Trump attorneys, Kenneth Cheesebro and Sidney Powell, asked to have their cases severed from the others to ensure they receive a speedy trial. Judge Scott McAfee said that he would order them to stand trial together on October 23rd and ask prosecutors about their expectations.
You're saying that right now you would predict that if it was just a trial of Ms. Powell and Mr. Cheesebro, that the state's going to need those same amount of witnesses, same amount of exhibits, and that same amount of time?
Absolutely.
The judge has not made a decision on severing trials for other 17 defendants. The manhunt in Pennsylvania is intensifying for convicted murderer Danilo Cavalcante, who escaped nearly a week ago from a county prison. Triple-digit temperatures blanketing states from Texas to the Northeast. This is ABC News. Enrique Tarrio, the one-time leader of the Proud Boys, was sentenced to 22 years in prison for his role in the January 6th attack, the harshest sentence yet.
Tarrio was not present at the riot, but prosecutors still say he played a key role, arguing Tarrio watched the violence unfold at 2:38 p.m., posting on social media, "Don't expletive leave." It's the harshest sentence handed down among any of the more than 1,100 individuals charged so far in connection to January 6th. Prosecutors had asked for 33 years.
ABC's M. Nguyen. A busy month ahead for Congress as lawmakers try to prevent a government shutdown. They have to pass 12 spending bills by the end of the month. Details from ABC's Jay O'Brien on Capitol Hill.
There's going to be movement in the Senate on that this week. Now, when the House comes back next week, it's a tall order for Speaker McCarthy to appease the far right part of his party and also keep the government open. How he pulls that off is still very much an open question.
Rena Roy, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
The Wisconsin Democratic Party has launched a $4 million effort to pressure Republicans to back down from impeaching a new liberal state Supreme Court justice. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler says the effort, announced Wednesday, will include digital and television ads, voter outreach efforts, and a website tracking where every Republican lawmaker stands on impeachment. Justice Janet Protasiewicz began her 10-year term in August, giving liberals a 4-3 majority on the court for the first time in 15 years, with abortion rights and redistricting challenges at stake. Yesterday, a judge blocked Wisconsin elections officials from using a federal voter registration form, concluding they never formally approved its use. The lawsuit was filed in 2022 by Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative law firm, asking the judge to declare the national mail voter registration application illegal in the state. Wisconsin Election Commission lawyers argued that the form had already been approved by an election agency. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On Wednesday, August 30th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert, listen to Patchouli performing live at 6 p.m. On Thursday, the 31st, enjoy live music by Alyssa Hansen Duo and a classic car show at the Amory Ale Works. That's from 5 until 8:30 p.m. On September 4th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome. And on September 13th, St. Joseph's Catholic Church will host a human trafficking awareness night with guest speaker Ashley Moore. It starts at 6:30. You'll learn more about the signs of human trafficking and ways to help prevent and respond to it in our community.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us and we'll tell the community all about it.
Food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you today. Matt Patrick here today. Jeff Stein joining us here in just a little bit. How do you like the new shirt, courtesy of the DFL booth over at the State Fair? There you go. Can you see Dark Brandon on that there? There you go. Does it look pretty on camera, Patrick?
I think it looks even better in person.
Well, there you go. There you go. Oh, yeah. I saw this when I fell in love with it. There is nothing I think that's funnier than conservatives upset because they're, you know, that Joe Biden has taken their "Let's Go Brandon" chant, which, you know, once again, if you don't know the story of it, they were, you know, some conservative idiots at a NASCAR race started chanting blank Joe Biden, and the NASCAR host basically just said, I think they're saying "Let's Go Brandon" because they were talking about this. And so this became conservative giggles. "Let's Go Brandon" became their way to insult the president without saying the bad word. Ha 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 ha. Funny story, Joe Biden actually took the Dark Brandon, when basically he started kicking the Republicans' caboose and passing bill after bill after bill, he took that from him and it became the Dark Brandon Rising, which is just brilliant. And gosh, the belly aching from the Republican, why is he using it? Doesn't he know it's an insult? No, it's basically he's taken it and thrown it back in your face, and you don't like it. And by the way, conservative NASCAR fan, can I just tell you how much this has hurt NASCAR? Do you realize that all your "Let's Go Brandon" chants at NASCAR races, that the viewership plummeted and the sponsorships actually dropped? Because, you know, people like myself, if I've got a few hours to kill on a weekend, do I want to watch a baseball game where they're not political or a NASCAR race? And you see your problem. You know, NASCAR for a while there was looking like it was going to, you know, kind of maybe even surpass the NHL. But the reality is now it's back to being a secondary sport in this country because of you guys. That's on you. So, yeah, nice job, idiots. Dark Brandon Rising indeed. By the way, when you went out to the State Fair, did you do the seed thing at the DFL?
I did not. I did look at the seeds though.
You did? Okay. So at the DFL booth, you know, when they gave you a seed, you could put it in the individual tube. Did you do that?
I did not do that, okay. But I did take a look at them when I walked through.
Or maybe if I misunderstood, I apologize. The seed art thing, they've got their winners here because I put mine in. I gave mine to Steve Simon. I gave mine to Steve Simon. So I voted for the making voting easier one, which, you know, did not finish well. And I knew it was pretty sparse in that too, but I helped out Steve Simon with that one. The State Fair Minnesota DFL party conducted a highly scientific study of voter preferences. Visitors to the party booth were given a small number of soybeans and prompted to vote for their favorite policies passed during the 2023 legislative session. As a matter of fact, I believe they got one soybean each. As of 5 p.m. on Labor Day, the following here, defending abortion access was by far number one. The 100% clean energy by 2040 was number two. Historic funding for public schools, three. Universal school meals, four. Universal background checks for gun control, five. Free college for low-income families was six. Paid family and medical leave, seven. Legal cannabis was eight. Making voting easier came in ninth. Yay, team. Largest tax cut in state history was 10th. The biggest child tax credit in the U.S. was 11. And the largest jobs bill in state history came in at number 12. I think those last three basically just didn't have good marketing ability there. But the other stuff, yeah, dominated. And the preserving defending abortion access, that was, they actually filled up their tube and had to start filling up another two because it was so popular. The commanding primacy of abortion access could surprise no one. The U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, proven a dog-catches-car moment for the GOP, whose unperformance in 2022 midterms was largely credited by the popular defense to a popular defense of reproduction rights. The AFL didn't probably need any reminding of the issue's importance, but they got it anyway. Voters at the state fair gave a defending abortion access so many beans that the AFL had to fashion a second cylinder. It's an important reflection, but it was not an the inspiration for the column, though. As the tax policy work and enthusiastic believer of the value of public investment, I'm eager to point out the surprising lack of enthusiasm for the largest tax cut in state history, which finished 10th out of 12th in the near tie for last place. Well, because, you know, the people that only concern themselves with tax cuts aren't going to the DFL booth. Let's just be honest. You know, the people that are going to be there, that's the case. The failure of big tax cuts to garner support among state fair poll participants should raise some eyebrows, given the notion that everyone hates taxes. Indeed, the casual and consumer-oriented setting of the state fair might be guessed that lowering taxes would receive at least a moderate support, but that would be underestimating the wisdoms of the state fair attendees. The Walls and many of his party are fond of citing their efforts to cut taxes for working families, the political instinct to play into simplistic notions of economic warfare. Lower taxes equals more money in your pocket and a high quality of life is understandable, but the state fair poll suggests Minnesotans, or at least those with the beans, know better. Well, workers in high tax states tend to have higher incomes, and they benefit from more public investment. A better funded government means a higher quality of public services like education and healthcare. Higher taxes also reduce the necessity of free-for-use financing like tolls and tuition, and they raise the general standard of living by supporting those struggling to make ends meet. One way of interpreting the bean poll results is to say the DFL voters understand the trade-off between taxes and public investment, which I agree with, and they're good with that. That was the attitude shared by 76% of DFL voters and 42% of Republicans on the issue when they polled in 2017. Another way to interpret the state fair poll is to say that the participants rejected the neoliberal philosophy that government should work primarily to improve markets and maximize economic growth. So that's one option as well. I'll say this. I mean, if I were the Republicans, just looking at this list, I would say if the Republicans had the same group of votes, I got to imagine the largest tax cut in state history would probably be number one, just because that's who they are. Dog whistle stuff for them. What would be the second on this list for them? Oh, gosh, I can tell you a lot of stuff here would not. I would say this, defending abortion access would not be the last one on that list. That would probably be free college for low-income families, because that is something that just infuriates Republicans. How dare you? Legal cannabis might have been the second biggest out of this whole list. If I was the Republicans, if this list of things was in the Republican booth, the tax cut would be number one. The jobs bill, the largest jobs bill in state history, would be number two. That would be number two. Legal cannabis, I'm going to guess legal cannabis would have been number three. Biggest child tax credit in U.S. history would be four. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to take a leap here. Historic funding for public schools would be five. That's a leap. Paid family medical leave, six. Wow. I can tell you, I mean, universal background checks is going to be at the bottom here. Free college for low-income families is going to be at the bottom. Making voting easier is going to be at the bottom. Clean energy is going to be at the bottom. And I think all those would rank below defending abortion access, because I think there are enough Republicans that would have voted for that, because even they even acknowledged that that was a bad issue. So it's interesting to think about, though, because, yeah, it's almost as if this list would be turned upside down. It not completely, but definitely the 10th and the 12th out of 12 on the Democratic side would probably be 1 and 2 on the Republican side. And, I mean, I got to put legal cannabis just because it's the the less of the evil options, according to Republicans, would probably. And there's plenty of Republicans that smoke dope. So just, you can put that aside. So, yeah, no, I that's an interesting thought process. Anyway, I'm not too surprised by that. Once again, it's the DFL. It's the red meat of the party showing up to their booth. I was there. I saw Rick Hansen, Representative Rick Hansen out there, who was already talking about trying to figure out a better busing system and more efficient busing system for the state fair. If I may, Representative Hansen, may I suggest you also focus your attention dramatically on trying to find a way to get some shade in some of the western parts of the fairgrounds. The Heritage Square, the Midway, and over at the by the kind of the animal barns and all that, by the Coliseum. You gotta get some shade over there, because one of the reasons why the attendance was down so much is those areas were brutal on those hot days, and just absolutely brutal. I think that you need to work on that for sure. But I mean, obviously, once again, I think, working on, making sure that the transportation, considering what was it, public transportation was up 33% from the previous year. 952-946-6205. So I just really quick here. Pat Garofalo. Yes, that Pat Garofalo. Pat Garofalo put out a post where he said, they want air conditioning at Stillwater State Prison. Sure, we can do that, but only if we first make sure every school and veterans facility has new air conditioning. We prefer to take care of the kids and heroes before we take care of the criminals. Now, he's doing this it's not about trying to fix the problem, because he's not going to introduce a bill to give AC to kids or to veterans. Let's just be honest about it. But he's doing the until this happens thing. But to a point, I don't necessarily disagree with him. I think that if there are need for schools for AC and need for veterans, by all means, and of course, we have to talk about the water quality issue. And I'll get into this more coming up in the next hour. We'll talk more about the prison situation, what happened out at Stillwater. But real leadership would be to say, here is my bill to put AC, clean water, all schools, veterans facilities in the Stillwater prison. I'd back that. Garofalo responding, I'm actually reading this for the first time. That might be true in a world of limitless resources, but we don't live in that world. I rank a lot of my priorities ahead of extra spending on air conditioning for prisons, just my opinion. I do appreciate you sharing. I have a point. Maybe the nicest thing you ever said about me on social media. Have a good day. Well, you've said some really goofy stuff. And I would say this, one of the things that makes Republicans really mad about Minnesota is that if you came on out and if you introduced a bill and said, I'm going to raise everyone's taxes by 4 cents, 4 cents for everyone in the state of Minnesota. And that money will go directly to buy air conditioners for the veterans home, all the schools, and for the Stillwater prison, and make sure clean water. And I'm just pulling a number out of my caboose, but it wouldn't need to be much in a state of 5.7 million people. If you had, maybe 10 cents a person, 10 cents a person. No one would feel that. 10 cents a person, that would get you $50 million of funding that you could put AC in at the Stillwater prison. You could put it in at the schools and the veterans homes and make sure they have clean water. That'd probably be enough right there. If people do, if you went out there and said, we're going to raise your taxes 10 cents, but here's where that money's going for, people would approve it. And that's what I think is a problem. Now, I could point out that all these people that claim to be Christian on the Republican side, there's a special little thing about taking care of prisoners. That Jesus, the one that makes Christians Christian, that he basically told us to take care of the prisoners, the meekest of us, making sure we take care of the needy and the meek. And so by sitting there and saying, I don't want to help them, I don't know what church you're going to, but, you might want to check that Gospel of Matthew. Just saying, I'm saying, but I mean, I don't, Representative, if I may, if I can get, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give Pat Garofalo another mild bit of credit. When I started on this station back in 2010. He was a far-right loon ball, but he saw what was happening to his district, that the district was getting more people in it, it was becoming more liberal, and the guy was one of the few people I've seen that, you know, he's not trying to do a Walter Hudson sort of thing. He's basically understands that if I need to represent these people, I need to change who I am, and he did. Not completely. He still votes along lines with the Republicans, but he does actually sometimes put forward, shocker, moderate Republican policy, like old school Reagan policy. He seems to, at least he understands that. And I can give him some credit for not staying out on that far right extreme. But the reality is if you bring up a legit point that we need air conditioning in schools, we need air conditioning at the veterans' homes, and clearly the Stillwater prison's got some problems, well, you're a legislator. You're a representative. Solve the problem. And yeah, that might mean having to raise taxes 10 cents. But if you were to ask me, my family, I would have to pay 50 cents more in taxes, but I'd have AC in all the schools, in the veteran centers, and at the prison. I'm cool with that, man. Because I can see where my tax dollars are going. I'd rather have that then pay 50 cents more just to make sure some wealthy billionaire in the state gets another tax break. That's not doing us any good as a people. So, Pat, it's not a bad idea. Seriously, dude, find a Democrat, sit down, and hammer out the details of this, because I bet you could do this. And this would be good. This would be a good thing. Making sure all the schools have AC, making sure all the veterans' homes have the AC, and fixing all the problems, which apparently are multiple, over at the Stillwater Prison. Ta-da! Good luck with that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the number. We'll take a break. Come on back. I want to before we get to Stein, I want to talk about a story out of Idaho, which I want to talk to him extensively about. It is pretty interesting. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Did you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Outfront Minnesota is a driving force behind LGBTQ plus advocacy in our state, and they're gearing up to honor our state's monumental achievements in protecting our LGBTQ plus neighbors. While other states took steps backwards, Minnesota had the greatest advance in LGBTQ plus rights in 10 years. We showed that Minnesota is committed to affirming our values as a state that trusts individuals to make informed decisions about their bodies and lives, while also taking pride in delivering exceptional health care and supporting communities in need. We passed a conversion therapy ban and a trans refuge bill. And now Upfront Minnesota is ready to lead Minnesota towards even a brighter future. To celebrate, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities, propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field, with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ plus rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
Did you know there are easy ways to support your child's brain development during their critical early years from age 0 to 3? Little Moments Count is a website which provides tools to help parents engage in simple, everyday activities like talking, playing, reading, and singing with their children. Visit littlemomentscount.org for resources and support in giving your child a strong foundation for a lifetime of learning. That's littlemomentscount.org. littlemomentscount.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain, and we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. See, I mean, there are some things there. I think that that's not a bad idea, man. I mean, seriously, some of the VA stuff, Veterans Home stuff, is subpar to say the least. And there are schools, including a lot of the schools in the inner city, that do not have air conditioning. And it's 90 degrees. It's brutal. I agree with that. But at the same time, I also don't believe in they're human beings. I know they're prisoners, but they're human beings. They don't deserve to be baked alive in their cells. Like they're, what was that down in Louisiana? Where the people dying in their cells because they're baking to death? And people sitting there saying, they get what they deserve. Well, they got a 20-year prison sentence, not a death sentence. We don't have torture. This isn't the freaking Spanish Inquisition. We don't torture people to death like you guys are doing. I mean, by the way, it's funny, as they try to argue that they get what they get, they sure try to hide the fact that these people are dying in these prisons. That's for sure. Conservative policy, though, is kind of, it is one of those things where they generally have a tendency of leaping before they look. And this is a prime example. There is a fantastic article from the New York Times, which I'm going to recommend you try to find. I had someone link to me a gift version of that on one of my tweets so that you might be able to go see it through that. And I highly recommend it because it's exposing a huge problem for these Republican states that have gone full anti-abortion. And in the point of even taking it to the point of threatening legal action against their doctors, the gynecologists and the obstetricians who treat women who are pregnant. One by one, doctors who handle high-risk pregnancies are disappearing from Ohio, part of a wave of obstetricians fleeing restrictive abortion laws in hostile state legislatures. Dr. Caitlin Gustafson, a family doctor who also delivers babies in the tiny mountain town of McCall, is among those left behind facing a lonely and uncertain future. While caring for patients with pregnancy complications, Dr. Gustafson seeks counsel from maternal-fetal medicine specialists in Boise, the state capital, 2 hours away. But two of the experts she relied on as backup have packed up their young families and moved away, one to Minnesota, the other one to Colorado. All told, more than a dozen labor and delivery doctors, including five of Idaho's nine longtime maternal-fetal experts. So this is basically over half the state's experts in maternal-fetal pregnancies have either left or retired by the end of this year. Dr. Gustafson says the departure have made a bad situation worse, depriving both patients and doctors of moral support and medical advice. Idaho's obstetrics exodus is not happening in isolation across the country. In red states, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, obstetricians, including highly skilled doctors who specialize in handling complex and risky pregnancies, are leaving their practices. Some newly minted doctors are avoiding states like Idaho, but Dr. Kylie Cooper left. Kylie Cooper is the one that left St. Luke's in April for Minnesota. After many agonizing months of discussion, she said she concluded that the risk was too big for me and my family because they actually have charges. And in Idaho, it's so extreme that even in some cases where the life of the mother is in jeopardy, that they cannot perform an abortion, even when the life of the mother is in jeopardy. That's how extreme. And they will throw you in jail. And as I said this, I can't imagine what it must be like to be a licensed, experienced doctor, a medical professional, and seeing your expert medical opinion being overridden by some toothless junior high dropout who said, I don't like what you're going to do. I know about science and all. And that's what's really happening here. Now, toothless junior high dropout probably is a little too generous of a term for most of the people serving in the Idaho House and Senate. But still, in Oklahoma, where more than half of the state's counties are considered maternal care deserts. Three-quarters of obstetrician gynecologists who respond to a recent survey said they were either planning to leave, considering leaving, or would leave if they could. Think about that. Three-quarters of the state of Oklahoma's obstetrician and gynecologists said they were planning or leaving, or if they could, they would go. Three-quarters in Tennessee, where one-third of the counties, this is Tennessee, This is supposedly kind of a built-up state, but a third of their counties are considered maternity care deserts. A maternal-fetal specialist, Dr. Zahida Sprung, decided to move to Colorado not long after Dobbs' ruling. She grew up in the South and felt guilty about leaving, she said. Here's where it gets crazy. So this is John Vanderwood, W-O-U-D-E. He is the Idaho chair of the House Health and Welfare Committee. Yes, he's a Republican. Here's a quote. So once again, they had these retroactive laws in place so that if Roe v. Wade actually got overturned, they went into effect. And at no point did they ever think about what was going to happen. We never looked that close at what exactly the bill said and how it was written and language it was in, he said. We did that thinking Roe v. Wade was never going to get overturned. And then when it got overturned, we said, okay, now do we have to take really close look at these definitions? After the fact, Mr. Vanderwood also dismissed doctors' fears that they would be prosecuted. And he expressed doubt that obstetricians are leaving the state, even though the story quotes two who are leaving the state, two of the specialists that they have in Idaho, and they don't have a lot of specialists as it is. Out of nine, two of them definitively have left. I don't see any doctor ever getting prosecuted, he said, and show me the doctors that have left. Well, just look up nine paragraphs in your own damn story, you freaking idiot. Toothless junior high dropout. All right. When we do return, I want to talk more about this with Jeff because this is creating, this exposes two huge problems. And on the political realm, and one that's really going to hurt the people of Idaho and Oklahoma and Tennessee and any of these other states that have these really aggressive anti-abortion laws. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein, when we do come on back, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Tom. Going solar is a great way to save on energy costs. By using the sun to power your house, you can feel good about an investment that will last for years. All Energy Solar is a locally trusted turnkey solar installer that's been around since 2009. They provide custom designs and quality installations of solar panel systems that work for your energy needs. One of the best parts about going solar is it's an investment that can pay for itself. Your system can pay back 100% of the installation cost in as little as 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. There's also many tax incentives and rebates available, and the experts at All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process to make sure you're saving as much as possible. So go green, both financially and environmentally, with All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
Get ready for one of the coolest music events of the year. The 11th Powderhorn Porch Fest will showcase top-notch local artists spanning indie, rock, country, blues, and more on three porches that will transform into stages. Powderhorn Porch Fest is Saturday, September 16th from 4 to 10 p.m. along 17th Avenue between 32nd and 34th Streets. Featured are 13 talented artists and the electrifying Nerd D opening and closing the show. And it's not just about the tunes. Enjoy sweet and savory delights from food trucks and cool merch from local vendors. Don't miss the Reverie Cafe and Beer Garden, back for the third year, perfectly complementing the music and festivities. Hosted by the Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and neighbors on 17th Avenue, this festival showcases strong cross-neighborhood partnerships. Powderhorn Porch Fest isn't just a music festival, it energizes our South Minneapolis community and supports local programs and services. Again, that's Saturday, September 16th from 4 to 10 p.m. along 17th Avenue between 32nd and 34th Streets. Learn more at ppna.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 67, tonight cloudy with a low around 53, and Thursday sunny with a high near 70. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned restaurants and food purveyors. They feature high quality food and unique eating experiences for your next meal. Some of those restaurants and food purveyors include 30 Bales and Latunji's Palette. Find a full list of all of our restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Jeff Stein's
our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books over in St. Paul and totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report. By the way, we don't give you enough credit. That Iowa Business Report is actually very entertaining to read or to listen to. The Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report come to us from his flagship KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, you're very kind. Good afternoon. How are things?
I'm doing well. Do you see my shirt, man?
I did see your shirt.
Yeah, Dark Brandon
Reiser.
Because
you stood in front of the camera, it's hard to not see the shirt. No, I do like that. It's Dark Brandon. That's very nice. This is for the audience's benefit. The long-suffering audience. I log into the video hoo-ha, whatever it is, and there's a commercial, and here's this grumpy man playing with his phone, and then he gets up and then walks to the camera to where all you see is his torso.
Yes.
And I
rippling muscles, rippling muscles like fan art for Trump.
Well, you know, again, basically you've got Joe Biden's face. And so, you know, you were making it so that he was winking.
Yeah.
You were flexing. It was great. That's what I see. I log on to do this after, you know, the horrible day where I'm sick of the sound of my own voice. And that's what I see is Matt McNeil's chest.
Two things. One, that is totally me, though. I'll go up to you, like I'd go out to a restaurant and grab your head and just, do you see this? Yes, how can I not see it?
It truly is you. That is fair. That is very fair.
The other thing is this, dude, whose show are you filling in on today?
Oh, I filled in on the Todd Starnes national show again last minute. So I did TV this morning.
Did
I did
you?
My local show. I did the national show. Mm-hmm. And now I am regaling fine folks in the Twin Cities and the greater Hopkins area with my wit and wisdom.
A lot of people in Eden Prairie, where the station's actually located at, are going mad. But, you know, that's where I live, is in Hopkins. So shout out to the...
I figured somebody at home was listening. That's why I
gave in my house? Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
Well, so we live at the same place. Got it.
Exactly. Has there any radio host ever had a spouse who regularly listened to their show? No.
Well, as a protective measure.
Yes.
So that when the neighbors come up and say, did you hear what he said? It's like, oh, my God. It's more for protection on their part.
Oh, she likes B.B. King's Bluesville on Sirius XM, and I'm not going to stop it. So there you go.
Well, best not to, yeah.
All right. So I don't know if you – did you get a chance to read that article I sent you from the New York Times?
I gave it a quick look, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is interesting because this is something that's clearly a repercussion that none of these – I don't think these Republicans really thought this through when they put these retroactive bills in there. They put out these, we're going to prosecute doctors, we're going to do all this stuff, and all this stuff kicked in the second Roe v. Wade was overturned, that it was sent back to the states. And it's clear in some states that they haven't – that this is something they haven't really thought about the consequences of these bills they eagerly passed when Roe v. Wade was there to protect them from their own legislation.
You're referencing a piece in the New York Times that you may have talked about on the show already or not.
Yeah, just briefly before we came on the air here. So.
Okay, perfect, perfect. That's enough. That it makes the point. Republicans for 50 years, ran against Roe versus Wade, right?
Yeah.
They fundraised against it. They said, just get us the right number of justices and we'll make it a states' rights issue as it should, et cetera, et cetera. And because they couldn't affect it, any change on the national level, they did what they could on the local level. They would pass laws that were triggered if there was ever a change. It's really safe to pass laws that are triggered when you don't see that there's ever going to be a change. You can, you know, beat your chest. You can say, look at this. We're going to throw doctors in jail. You can do all of that. But they never planned for what if Roe was ever overturned. And this is the fallout you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
People quoted in that article
mentioned
this had unintended consequences. Okay, a lot of pieces of legislation do. They have unintended consequences. And that's fine. You go correct it later. But this was the kind of thing where, you know, holy crap, it's sort of like the dog that chases the car. One day the dog catches the car. Oh my God, what do I do with it now? I don't have opposable thumbs. I can't drive. I can't reach the pedals. Okay, so they said for years, we just got to get Roe versus Wade overturned. They weren't ready. The triggers didn't work. In some cases, the laws go back a century. Then there is this debate about, well, should there be a national law or not? For 50 years, you said it was a states' rights issue, and now you want to federalize it? I mean, there's no strategy here. And more importantly, forget political strategy. To your excellent point, they did not think of the ramifications. The idea is, let's hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. You want to make something criminal, a criminal offense, someone has to be accountable. Are you going to make the mother of the child in gestation responsible? Well, that's not very popular. All right, we'll make it the doctors. Okay, doctors say, see ya. I'll go to a state where I don't have to risk this. Mm-hmm. I mean, who do you find responsible? If you start saying the hospitals are criminally responsible and there's a huge fine,
oh, God.
Guess what?
They're shutting down.
There won't be any obstetrics gynecology wing. They already are having a hard enough time because of insurance, and that's pre-Dobbs. Mm. So it's a very difficult situation because, again, nobody really thought through what would happen, because I don't think they honestly thought it would ever happen.
Well, and it did, and this just shows you how bad their strategy has been, because, you know, you've been working on this. I think when Trump got into office and you said, at least we're going to get two Supreme Court justices, you know, that they should have fought through this, and someone should have gone back and looked, and they didn't. And by the way, some of these even go back, 100+ years? You know, way back, well, some of these laws that retroactively kicked in. And right. And what we're not talking in Idaho, particularly in this article, it's not talking about abortion as any kind of, you know, choice for a woman. They're talking about there are women who are going to die if they don't get an abortion. And the Idaho law is so restrictive that there are some cases in that scenario where a doctor can come in and say, here's my medical position. And some politician says, well, you can't do that. And so you're talking about, you know, and as the woman, the doctor that the story is about talks about, these are not people who want to get rid of kids. They've got nurseries. They've got names. They've already planned on this. This is not something, a choice that they're making, but that even, you know, trying to give medical care to them as they go through this horrible situation for themselves where they want this child, and the child, you know, that there's a decent chance the mom's going to die if she gives birth. They basically, the thought that they could, as a doctor, go to jail by just trying to save the patient, you know, it doesn't surprise me. And the brain dead narrative of Idaho on this, that they haven't really gone back and tried to fix this or clarify this. All they've got is I don't know if you saw the part of the article where the one guy from the Republican there that was on the committee, he said, well, they should just trust us. We're not going to prosecute them. What do you mean? That's the law. The law says you're going to prosecute them.
Imagine if they said that about something else that the left did, someone on the left did, and I don't know what, firebomb a building, protest, whatever it is that they want to demonize. Well, don't worry, we won't prosecute. Really? You want to take a chance? Yeah. And in its very basic, take the politics out of it form. Okay. Yeah. Because this whole issue has been politicized way too much over the half century. If you have a law that says the procedure is illegal unless to save the life of the mother, it then becomes a medical question. And that's your point. The doctor could say, in my opinion, my medical opinion, my years of experience, this was necessary. Who's to say a jury of 12 citizens without that background, if a case is brought, might say, we don't agree with your medical opinion, and we are going to impute some kind of motive that isn't otherwise there. You're not going to take that risk. You're not going to do the procedure. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Because, again, they just didn't think it through. Now, it's fine for a prosecutor or a politician to say, well, don't worry, you know, trust us until we get to the next regular session. They can say that. But I'm not taking the chance, are you?
No, and well, and it's similar to that law that passed down in Florida where they were basically going to kick out all the farm workers down there. And the one Republican who represented a bunch of farm area in Florida was out there pleading with the farm workers, don't leave. We're not going to prosecute you. We're not going to do this. Well, that doesn't do any good because the state law is one thing. And you, I get it, your constituents, the Republican farmers who basically have gotten you into office are now furious that all their good farm workers are leaving because of this far right wing rhetoric. But the reality is you can't argue nuances after you've passed the law.
Well, exactly. You can't argue nuances. And again, if this is not what was intended, the only way to change it is to change it. Yes. Governor cannot issue an executive order. I suppose, arguably, and this is the biggest stretch possible, you could file a lawsuit challenging the law, even though you might have been in favor of the law, challenging the law, saying the application of the law is leading to consequences beyond the legislative intent, and so judge, please invalidate the law until there are further hearings consistent with this matter. But who's going to wade into that?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, again, you're going to have, in essence, a majority of the legislature signing off on an amicus brief saying, we didn't know I was going to do this. That's just not the role of the court to then come in and say, all right, we'll put a freeze on this law because you guys hosed it up. That's not what they do.
By the way, here's the other side of this problem for them. They are creating these kind of obstetric and gynecological zones where there's just no doctors available. In Idaho, right. Up in the northern part of the state, they've actually shut down two clinics up there. So now they have to go 2 hours to get any kind of maternity service for a patient. And they also go in to talk about Oklahoma, where 3/4 of the doctors, the obstetricians and the gynecologists in Oklahoma are saying they will leave if they could. So you're creating these kind of medical care dead zones here, which the impact on society is going to be pretty dramatic. Even in Idaho, what was it? Out of the 9 experts they had in Boise, they're down to less than 5 now, or they will be by the end of the year. And don't tell me that argument, you're going to basically have the same quality of health care within Idaho that you are, say, in Minnesota.
Well, there are two things. One, our conversation and our inability to say certain words is why everybody calls it OBGYN.
Yeah.
Because you and I just can't say these words.
I have the desire, but it just doesn't, stick the landing there. So those are my bad.
Brother, it's been that way all day for me. That's all I can tell you. All right. Sorry to bring it to your party. But how much of a crisis in all seriousness, how much of a crisis do you have in the rural areas of Minnesota getting the minimum of health care, attracting doctors to rural areas? Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but you have to aggressively, I mean, communities band together. They get a regional hospital. They bring these people in and offer them fantastic deals like we'll waive your med school loans, et cetera. It's hard to get good rural health care.
Yeah.
Now compound it with this. By a factor of whatever, you're making a bad situation completely untenable. And that's just that's the reality of the situation. You know, this is again an issue of the problem I have with most lawmakers, and I don't care what level. Generally, they are law-abiding people who try to pass laws to govern the behavior of those who are not disposed to follow the law. You know, like, for example, you get picked up for drunken driving, they suspend your driver's license. And, oh, my God, he still drove without a license? Well, yes, we wouldn't think of it. You know, like, you'd walk back to the house to get your wallet because you don't want to run the risk of driving without your license on you. There are other people who are like, well, I need her keys. And even then, that's optional. Okay, so you know, the people who craft these laws often have gaps between what we put in the paper and what is in reality. And the reality of this situation is literally substandard medical care for large geographic areas and large segments of the population.
You mentioned Minnesota, and there was a link in that story which talked about maternity care deserts. That's what they call them. In Minnesota, up on the Arrowhead in Lake Cook County, on the very point there, they're considered that way. Up in the northwestern part of the state, in the southwestern part of the state, these conservative areas, which brings up the other problem here is, so say you are a state like Idaho. How are you going to get doctors there? You basically write laws that say if you use your medical opinion and your knowledge to try to save this person, as you pointed out, you could still have a jury throw you in jail for 2 years for basically doing a procedure they didn't approve of. It's very difficult to sit there and say, hey, come work as a doctor for us, work in maternity care for us. And they, you know, after you've told them, oh, by the way, we're going to prosecute you and throw you in jail if you do something we don't agree with. I mean, it's similar to the teachers thing where in rural America, there's a lot of teacher shortages. And I said, have you guys tried to be nice to the teachers? Because I see a lot of you guys screaming at teachers and then all of a sudden wondering why the teachers don't want to come work for you. I mean, it's the fact that these doctors mentioned here that have already left Colorado, Minnesota, that's not a fluke. They're going there because those are where medical conditions for the doctors are better.
Well, and again, I'm not making light by equivocation, but we have an issue in Iowa now where they're playing a lot of high school football games on Thursday nights. Why? Because there's a shortage of referees. And so you don't have enough if everybody plays Friday. You know, Matt McNeil's ref crew has to work both Thursday and Friday, and that's only because they've moved the games to Thursday. And why do we have a shortage of referees? Because fans have acted like idiots. And they have, you know, yelled at the referees, just like we yell at teachers or make it untenable. You don't go where you're not wanted. And it's one thing to say with potentially 50 different abortion laws with 50 states. It's one thing to say, well, I'll just go to another state. That is, well, it's not fine, but let's just go with, it's fine if you're talking about the actual procedure of abortion generally. But again, what about the female health care issues that permeate all of this, that because of the lack of nuance in these laws, because they never thought they'd have to be used, or if they did, they didn't realize, oh, we didn't think of that. Okay, but this is what you're going
to
get.
And, you know, you get to a point, too, then it's you get pregnant. Do you stay in your state? I mean, if it's that kind of a drop off in quality of care, I mean, it's I don't think it's that too much of an exaggeration that I think you're going to start seeing some massive exodus just on stuff like this alone, where, you know, if I get pregnant, I want to have it, make sure I have a chance to have my kid and have the best medical care. That's not in Idaho. Clearly not from this article. All right, let's take
well, and again, if you've got, you know, a heartbeat bill, a 16-week, a 20-week, whatever. And to your example, you want to carry the child to term, but there are complications. Yeah. Do you, after week 20, say, you know, just to be safe, I'm going to move north for the winter. I mean, gosh, that's not what people had in mind.
Well, and exactly. And especially now you have some places where they're saying, well, if you go out of state and we find out that you had a procedure we don't approve of, we're going to prosecute you then. So, yeah, so this is a mess. Nice job, everybody. This is getting really bad. And once again, specifically Idaho, Oklahoma, Tennessee, don't get sick there. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Tario's conviction yesterday. We'll talk about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Join Mary T. on Wednesday, September 13th from 3 to 6 p.m. for an open house for the brand new Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center. The Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center offers physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Enjoy massage, yoga, meditation, and Tibetan medicine. They will partner with you on your healing journey and get you back to a quality of life that is meaningful to you. Mary T. Incorporated empowers people to live their best life by facilitating independence and overall wellness. The Mary T. Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center offers a unique integrative health and wellness experience to their clients. All major health insurance providers accepted. Visits are by appointment only. Call 763-489-3638 to schedule your first visit. The Mary T. Outpatient Therapy and Wellness Center is located at 11800 Zion Boulevard Northwest in Coon Rapids. Find details at MaryTInc.com.
MaryTinc.com/outpatient-therapy. That's MaryTinc.com/outpatient-therapy. Go for therapy, experience wellness.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hello, Twin Cities. This is Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. Pride isn't just the month of June. It's 365 days a year. I want to invite you to join me at the third annual Bloomington Pride on September 10th from noon to 5 p.m. at the Bloomington Civic Plaza. Bloomington community members have partnered with Twin Cities Pride to make sure the festival keeps moving forward. Bloomington Pride has faced a few hurdles, but we're not letting the protesters shut us down. This year, it's coming back bigger and better than ever. We're proud to offer something for everyone. With 70-plus vendors and exhibitors, 9 food trucks, and North Star Tavern will be on tap with a variety of beverages for the over 21 crowd. We'll have lots of live entertainment that will get you up on your feet. And of course, plenty of drag performers. Mark your calendars for September 10th. Visit BloomingtonPrideMN.org for more information. That's BloomingtonPrideMN.org. I'll see you on the 10th.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Jeff, yesterday, Enrique Tarrio was sentenced to 22 years in prison. So far, the longest sentence handed down in the January 6th insurrection fiasco. And, I wish it was a lot longer. It's interesting to watch all these guys get into court, get to the sentencing, and then act as if, you know, this was harmless. I'm really sorry. Especially when, like, 20 minutes before they're in the courtroom, they're on some far-right news outlet talking about, I'd do it again. You know, I can't tell you how happy I am these guys are going to go to jail for a long time.
Well, you have to like the one who, after he was sentenced, as he's being let out, yelled, Trump won. At least he doubled down in the courtroom, as opposed to I'm a sniveling little worm in front of the judge who can deprive me of my livelihood. Here's something that I find interesting. Vivek Ramaswamy, Republican presidential candidate, issued a news release today reiterating that he will pardon, once he is president, he will pardon all nonviolent January 6th offenders. Define nonviolent for me, please. What does that mean? Because that is the loophole to drive a truck through.
Mm-hmm.
Because all some of these people have to hear is pardon January 6th defendants, and they are all in.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's going to get tricky. I mean, DeSantis did the same thing earlier where he was saying, well, you know, I'll look at all of these. If it's solely political persecution, you know, come on. I mean, there's nothing to that because there's no definition to it.
Well, and it's
nonviolent.
Your perfect definition of you sprint through the extremes in the primary because The vast majority of people want to see these people in prison. They think they're guilty. They remember that. And so it's not a winning platform when you get to the general. And it would, these guys are setting the trap for themselves. I mean, I don't think either one of them is going to be the nominee, but if they were, I can't wait for them to, when did I ever say I'd pardon these guys? You know,
well, that's when they say, well, I said nonviolent. That's nice. I mean, that's the nuance, right? I said nonviolent because, you know, we have rule of law. Oh, okay. Okay. So that's how you get around trying to get elected. Then what do you do if you actually put your hand on the Bible? Do you pardon them in concert with the primary view or the general election view? That's interesting.
Do you feel that the Proud Boys are getting the sentences they deserve?
I don't know about what they deserve because I haven't followed it closely enough, to really get into all of the specifics. But, organized efforts that went well beyond what an average person would find to be common sense. And if the punishment is consistent with other like acts done by other individuals in other situations, you know, that's why we have federal sentencing standards and guidelines. You know, they're within parameters. It is to avoid there being an abuse of justice or an abuse of discretion. And you look at some of these things and it's like, okay, I don't care how many videos Tucker shows, there's still some people smashing windows here.
Yeah.
And doing other things.
And beating cops. Yeah, and exactly. And I think that as well, it's, you know, the thought that most of these guys are not even going to see, you know, the freedom until 2040 is, I think, that gives me some solace. But yeah, a dark day in America, that's for sure. Jeff Stein, once again, the Iowa Politics Report. I'll post later. Jeff, thank you much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Dark Matthew.
You got it. Hour two up next.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our live call-in talk show airing every Saturday from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights you need to know to live and age well. Each week, we talk with guests who provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and self-care for caregivers, and help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 on AM 950 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Get ready to unlock the secrets of home maintenance as we dive into questions like, can I put furniture on top of my floor vents? And should I tarp my AC for the winter? This is Katie Shahan, host of the Yarlo Home Cringe Show, where we talk about home maintenance and create a trust economy of professionals near you. Don't forget to listen to our entertaining stories about some cringeworthy.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.